God has been so good. If you're not standing, if you would, please stand. It does me great joy. I'm going to bring forth the word here in a little bit, but before I do, it gives me great honor and joy to introduce my wife to come, and she's going to talk to and encourage all of the women, and I believe it's not only going to be a blessing to them, but it's going to be a blessing to this entire church. And I'm so grateful unto the Lord for Sister Robinson. And before she was a pastor's wife, she was my friend. And that friend just became my best friend and my companion, my helpmeet. And I have her in my phone as Good Thing. So when she calls, that's what shows up on my phone, Good Thing. That's Bible now. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. The Bible says he has favor with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, husbands, don't be stealing my style now, okay? I don't want to see Good Thing popping up on your phone, but I'm excited and I'm thankful. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to be blessed by the word of the Lord. If you're ready to receive it, let's clap our hands unto the Lord and welcome Sister Robinson as she comes in Jesus' name. You may be seated, choir.
Thank you. You can be seated. I thank God for this Mother's Day. Thank God for this choir, this music ministry that we have here. I thank God for them. I thank God for them. While I'm getting my text up, my dear husband, if you wouldn't mind getting 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 for me. Thank you. This morning, I want to start off by saying happy Mother's Day to all the moms who have lost a child, those grieving the loss of their mother, stepmoms, single moms, spiritual mothers, motherly figures, and mothers in waiting. We see you. We love you. No matter what you are going through on this day, we are here for you. We do have a team of counselors on staff who are there to talk to you. They are available, and we ourselves are available for you no matter how you are feeling or what you're going through. If you want someone, feel free to come to us. We are here to help. I thank you guys for choosing Star City Church this morning to worship with us this morning. We count it as an honor and a privilege, so I thank you. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and jump in to what I believe the Lord has given me. And so if you guys wouldn't mind, if you would just listen to me encourage myself this morning, because the Lord gave this to me for me, and I pray that it blesses someone else.
The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, starting at verse number 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb." Before we jump into this word, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, and I pray your anointing in the name of Jesus will flow. And I pray, God, that you anoint every ear that we may hear your word and be a doer of your word. And I thank you for the sweet spirit that we feel in this place. Now, God, have your way. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're ready to receive the word, someone say amen. Amen.
Now, this story is about victory. It's about breakthrough. It's about deliverance. It's about new life. It's about intercession. It's about obedience. And it's about the privilege of being used by God. It's about how God intervened in an ordinary woman's life, and her life then became extraordinary. As we know, Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah and he had Penina. But the plot thickens as we were told that Penina had many children, many sons and daughters, while Hannah, she had none. As we know in verse 3, Elkanah would take his entire family up to Shiloh yearly to worship. Now, during this time with his family while feasting, Elkanah gave Penina and all of her sons and daughters a portion of food and drink. But to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But excess of stuff could not buy her happiness. It was no substitute for what her heart truly longed for. Hannah was broken in heart. She was sorrowful. She was weeping because she had no children. And sometimes we can look around and we can see other people being blessed and we wonder why. Why, God, have you forgotten me? Why, God, haven't you blessed me? Why, Lord, have you forsaken me? And in those days, to be childless was considered to be shameful, cursed, or not favored by God. But that's just a small portion of the story because Hannah's very name means favor. Most people will refer to Hannah as barren. Matter of fact, if you look closely at all the text, it never uses the word barren when referring to Hannah. In no translation, it uses the word barren. It simply says that the Lord shut up her womb. The Lord closed her womb. And a closed womb is not the same as barrenness. Barrenness is caused by something physical, something biological, age, hormone condition, medical condition. But Hannah's closed womb happened because of the Lord. And some things in our lives, they don't happen because of anything that we've done. It simply happens because of the Lord. That's what he called for. That's his will for that season. Sarah, she was barren of old age before God intervened and gave her and Abraham a son. Rebecca, she was barren before she gave Isaac a son. Samson's mother was barren before she bore a son. Elizabeth was barren before she birthed John the Baptist. There are many other women who were barren before God intervened and they were able to conceive. Sometimes we want answers and we want solutions to occur in our own time. But we have to remember that God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. And as my husband would say, her delay was not a denial. It was simply just a delay. How many times have you asked God for something? How many times have you prayed and you left feeling like your prayers weren't answered? I know I have. But Hannah's closed womb was a deliberate act of God in order that he may display his glory in her life. Sometimes the door is closed by God. So when the delay is over, you know without a shadow of a doubt that your breakthrough is not by your own power, not by your own might, but by the power and the grace of the one and only true living God. Your delayed prosperity, your delayed breakthrough, it is not because of barrenness. It is only just a temporary closed door. It may not come when you want it. He may not come when you want him. But I know I serve an on-time God. That job you wanted, that car you needed, that house you thought you had, that thing that you need in your life, it is only just a delay. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait up on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Penina's provocation provoked Hannah to action. You would probably agree with me that many of us would not pray like we should. We would not seek the Lord like we should. We would not push back our plates like we should if we did not have difficult times. Loss of a loved one, sickness, financial problems, substance abuse, marital problems, the hurting of our children. It's times like these that draw us closer to the Lord like never before. Hannah prayed. But her prayer life went to another level due to the provoking and the picking and the annoyance of Peninnah. I have personally learned that God will intentionally place a Peninnah in your life in order to get you focused on him. Sometimes difficult situations call for difficult measures. I don't know how common it was for women to go into the temple, let alone be crying out in the altar during those times, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And Hannah was pushed to the point where nothing else mattered. Protocol went out the window, rules went out the windows, regulations went out the window because she knew she needed to touch the throne of God. Hannah's prayer was determined. It was specific. It was fervent. It was sincere because she was desperate. Hannah didn't pray no old repetitive prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. God is good as God is great. She wasn't just reciting no words, but she prayed in agony. She travailed. Hannah's prayer was so sincere, it was so deep that Eli the priest wanted to know if she was drunk, but she wasn't drunk with any wine or any strong drink. She was drunk with the Spirit of the Lord. The closing of Hannah's womb was only for a season. So I stand here today to tell you whatever you are going through, it is just for a season. God was preparing her for a new thing, a great thing. He was going to give Hannah the breakthrough that she needed. This message isn't just for mothers, but for anyone who may have a Peninnah or experienced a Peninnah in your life. Peninnah is that person or that situation that's come into your life to wreak havoc or chaos, but instead, they keep you close to God. They keep you focused on God. What the enemy meant for evil, what the enemy intended to take you out, God is going to turn it around for your good. You may have a Peninnah on your job who is frustrating you. You may have a Peninnah in your family who is provoking you. You may have a Peninnah in the church who is irritating you. And some of you have yet to experience a Peninnah, but I venture to say, keep on living. Many have only experienced a Peninnah for just a little while. And some are here who have experienced Peninnah for a long time, but I'm here to tell you that all you need to do is position yourself so that God can intervene. Hannah positioned herself before the Lord, and her desperation led to her declaration that no longer will I allow Peninnah to be victorious over my situation. The devil is a lie. When we get to the point where we can say, no longer am I going to allow you to dictate my worship. No longer am I going to allow you to dictate how I feel. Then we can turn our faces and our hearts to God, knowing that he can work it out. Knowing he's a God who can do all things but fail. We have to get to the point where we say, enough is enough. You can't backbite me after church. You can't slander me after church. You can't rumor mill me after church. You cannot not support me enough and make me quit. The enemy is a lie. Peninnah was designed to push Hannah beyond her limitations. Sometimes God will allow Peninnah to push us beyond ourselves, beyond our limitations, beyond our spiritual barrenness in order to produce more in us, more for his honor, more for his glory.
You would not be an intercessor if it wasn't for a Penina. You would not be a worshiper had it not been for Penina. You would not be a prayer warrior if it was not for Penina. You would not be a praiser if it wasn't for Penina. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the Peninas in my life. They've come to make me strong. They've come to build character. They've come to keep me close to God. They come into my life so that I may stay focused on what the plan is that God has set before me. The same God who brought prosperity to her adversary is about to prosper her. She gave birth not only to Samuel, but she gave birth to 3 other sons and 2 other daughters. That's why Hannah was able to say, 1 Samuel 2, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Someone here has been seeking and asking God for a breakthrough, and I'm here to tell you that your breakthrough is on the way. You may have had some sleepless nights. You may have had to go to sleep on some tear-stained pillow, but once Hannah took her eyes off of Penina, she was able to put her eyes on the Lord. Someone here needs to take their eyes off of Penina so you can focus on the Lord. You need to take your eyes off the person next to you so you can focus on the Lord. You need to take your eyes off your sickness so you can focus on the Lord. You need to take your eyes off your finances so you can focus on the Lord. You need to take your eyes off that hurtful situation so you can focus on the Lord. You need to take your eyes off the constant critiquing and opinion of men and get your eyes on Jesus. If your worship is stale, it's because you need to take your eyes off of what other people are doing and focus on God. If you feel as if you need a blessing, take your eyes off of what other people have and get your eyes on Jesus. If you think you need God to work something out in your life, get your eyes off your problem and get them on the Lord. Remember, Hannah wasn't barren. It was God who shut up her womb, and it was God who opened it. It was God who prevented you from getting that specific job, and it's God who's going to open the door for another one. It was God who shut the door in that circumstance, and it's God who's going to open the door for a better opportunity. Quit focusing on what you are going through and focus on where God is leading you. Quit focusing on what you don't have and give thanks for what you do have. As you know, in the last year coming up, I mean, 10 months, I've been dealing with an autoimmune disease. They couldn't figure out what happened with my body. But I tell you one thing. Once I got my eyes off my sickness and I put my eyes on God, I started getting normal test results. I went to go get tested 2 weeks ago and everything was in range. Once you get your eyes off your problem and you get them on the Lord, then God can move in your situation. God is bigger than any problems you face. He is bigger than your Penina. He is bigger than your fears. God can break through chaos. He can break through confusion. He can break through your pain. He can break through unforgiveness. He can break through your faults. He can break through your insecurity. Breakthrough happens when you come to the end of yourself, when you finally say enough is enough, and we surrender our all unto God.
Amen. Thank you.
I think we can just do a little bit better than that. Come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Somebody doesn't need to tell your neighbor, but you need to tell yourself, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Come on, we're going to take 60 seconds and just magnify the name of Jesus. Come on, you love him. You magnify him in your own way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Well, I honestly believe enough has been said. I don't really feel the need to go into a different direction because I believe God is speaking right now. So it would be unwise for me to go in a different direction. But I do feel in my spirit, I want you to put up 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and so let's start at verse number 15. Look at what the Bible says. Please be seated. Look at what the scripture says. It says, and Hannah answered and said, this is after Eli, as Sister Robinson said, challenged her, accused her of being drunken. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She says in verse number 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered, here is the word from the man of God, and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, this was her reply back, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And verse number 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. Now, I want you to take note here, because what Sister Robinson has now developed is faith within every man, woman, boy, and girl that is sitting here listening. Your faith should be at a level to where you have heard the word, you have received the word. Now it's time to take action upon the word. Now, what action do you take? The scripture tells us how to respond when you receive faith. Notice the Bible says that as soon as Hannah received the word from the man of God, that her countenance changed and she was no more sad. So this tells us a couple things. One, her countenance changed before the answer came. I'm going to say that one more time. Her countenance changed. That means her demeanor changed. Her thought process changed before the answer came. She was praying for a child. The child hasn't came yet. Y'all not hearing what the Bible is saying here. I said the answer hasn't arrived, but I've already got a smile on my face. The answer hasn't arrived, but I'm already wiping my tears. The answer hasn't arrived, but I'm already lifting my hands. I wonder if there's somebody in this house that won't wait till the answer comes, but you will go ahead and praise him before the answer even arrives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the scripture says that as soon as the man of God spoken the word, she received the word. And so not only can you hear the word, but you must be able to receive the word. And so once she received the word, then she said, I'm going to believe it and believe that it's already done. It doesn't matter what complications come my way. It doesn't matter if Penina has something else to say to me. It doesn't matter what the adversary has to say to me. I'm going to believe that it's already done. And all I've got to do now, I've got to change my attitude. I've got to change my response. I'm not going to sit down here and wait till the battle is over, but I'm going to rise to my feet and say, I'm going to praise him, even though I'm still in the middle of my storm. I know you may be going through a storm, but I'm not asking you to praise him because God brought you out. I'm asking you to praise him because God is in the middle of the storm with you. Somebody ought to rise to your feet, clap your hands unto the Lord, and believe God that he's going to bring you out. I didn't say you were out, but God's going to bring you out. Someone clap your hands unto the Lord just one more time. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is you might as well go ahead and love him right now. Matter of fact, don't worry about your neighbor. Your neighbor can be sitting there with their arms crossed, but they're not going through what you're going through. Somebody in here may not understand your praise, but they don't understand what you're going through either. So I wish I had somebody in here that was not afraid to get radical for Jesus. I know we in here looking cute, but somebody ought to move from your row. Somebody ought to get uncomfortable with being comfortable and clap your hands, lift your voice, stomp your feet, do something to let the Lord know, I believe right now. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I believe right now. Somebody clap your hands and shout now. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord and lift up the name that's above every name. I know you're going through a test, but that test is going to bring you into a greater testimony. I know you're going through the fire, but the Lord is in the fire right there with you. I know you got adversaries, but the Lord is about to shut their mouth and give you a praise. Somebody lift your voice right now and shout hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands one more time and lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Bridges, come help me out, please. I'm trying to help someone here understand that the Bible says, listen to me now, that when she received the word from the men of God, notice the word came from the men of God. She trusted in the man of God. And if the man of God said, I'm coming out, then Hannah said, I'm coming out. Now, I want you to notice the next verse. The Bible says in one verse that her countenance changed, but she did not allow her to go another day throughout the night of sleep and wake up the next day thinking, well, I wonder if it's going to happen. Y'all need to hear me what I'm saying, because you'll come to church and you'll feel good. You'll come to church and you'll clap your hands, but then you wake up on Monday wondering, was all that real? Is God still on my side? Is God still with me? Everything that you gained on a Sunday, you lost on a Monday. But the Bible says Hannah was not going to lose her praise. She was not going to lose her word from the man of God, for the Bible says she rose up in the morning early and she began to work. I feel like shouting in here. Hannah said, I'm not going to go back on what I believe God for. So when I wake up on Monday, I'm going to praise him. When I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to lift him up. Somebody in here ought to praise him right now. Someone throw up your hands, lift your voice unto the Lord, and believe God for what he's able to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we just take a 30-second praise break? Can somebody right now just love the Lord no matter where you are, from the front to the back? We're going to take 30 seconds. You lift up the name of Jesus the way you know how to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to push you a little bit because I feel the Holy Ghost pushing us. I'm trying to help someone understand. If you feel God telling you, you need to take off and walk around this church. If you feel God telling you, you need to take off and run around this church. If you feel God telling you, ought to step out of my aisle and just walk a little bit. You need to do whatever you can to receive the word of the Lord. Now is not the time to be cute. Now is not the time to be fancy. Now is not the time for your dignity, but now is the time to release yourself in the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to tell a mommy in here, if you got a backslidden child, you ought to take off running. You ought to leap for joy. You ought to magnify him. I know they may not be where they should be, but God's about to bring them back in here. I'm trying to tell a mommy in here that has children out there that's still lost. I'm trying to tell you that God is about to do it. So you ought to magnify the Lord right now and don't lose your praise. Somebody lift your hands one more time. Come on, let's just worship the King of Kings. In the name of Jesus, can you put up verse number 19 just one more time? Is it already up there? I want to tell someone, let's look at this last word, the very last words of this scripture, the last five words. And the Bible says, and everyone say, and. And that means there's more to come. And the Lord. I'm trying to tell somebody there's more to come. Because some of you think God has forgotten about you. And it's hard for you to worship because you think God is overlooking you. And he's blessing somebody else, but he's not going to bless you. I've come to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I've come to tell somebody, and. Somebody shout, and. And the Lord remembered her. I'm trying to tell somebody that the Lord remembers you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. And we serve a God of remembrance. He doesn't forget us like man. God is here to remember you. Someone clap your hands one more time. Lift up the name of Jesus. Let me finish with this statement. I've come to tell someone he is able. He is able. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. I've come to tell you, according to your praise, that is according to the exceeding grace and mercy that God is getting ready to pour out of. Y'all hear me say all the time, let your praise match your level of faith. So I don't know what type of faith you have, but whatever amount of faith you got, you ought to let your praise match your level of faith. Somebody in here, begin to clap your hands unto the Lord. Begin to magnify the name of Jesus, and you begin to praise him and believe him for what he's able to do. Now, listen. What I'm trying to get you to understand by faith is that response is important to God. See, this is why, Brother Bollinger, the world doesn't understand us, because all they see is emotion. But see, they don't understand our miracle-working God and what he's able to do. Well, I wish I had time to preach that right there. So they walk in here and they say, boy, y'all are emotional. What is all this emotion? No, they call it emotion, commotion. You can call it what you want. I call it worship. I call it praise. I call it victory. I call it belief. I call it faith. So you can call me emotional while you still over there doing what you want to do and living how you want to live. But the God that I serve, I know that if I shout, walls can come down. If I believe. So See, that's why it never bothers me. It never should bother you if someone tries to mock your worship and your praise. If someone frowns upon it because they don't understand it. See, they've never been through something, and then we worshiped, and then God brought us out of that something. They don't know the power of worship. They don't know the power of praise. But oh, if they only understood, if they can get out of their own selfish ways, if they can remove pride and ego and all the things that hinder someone from just lifting their hands and surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. I wonder if I've got about 100 believers in here that know when you magnify the Lord, chains can be broken. When you magnify the Lord, walls can fall. That when you, oh my Lord, do I have a church in here that knows now unto him that is able. Someone clap your hands one more time. We're getting ready to worship the Lord in this house, and I want you to believe God for what you need him to do in your life. Don't let nothing hinder you. I don't care if you're in the front row, back row, or side to side. You just lift your hands and worship the Lord. Come on, let's magnify him. Someone shall do it, Lord.